Good morning and a wiggy what's up to everybody out there. This is the Sneaks and Stats podcast, episode 63. I am EJ, also known as Sneaker Peteronovich.
Peteronovich, baby. That makes me Julian, the Statty Daddy. Welcome back. Episode 6, Trey.
What up, Daddy?
What up, Petey?
Notable 63 jersey wearers.
Aaron Baines.
Is he? No,
he's 60-something. 60,
it's in the 60s for sure. Somebody that I for sure know that you don't know. Played for the Celtics in 2016. Cotty Clark.
Oh, my boy Cotty?
Big Cot Dogs. And Raiders legend Gene Upshaw.
Yep.
Your team.
We're running out of numbers.
Yeah, we're getting hired to the point where
I don't work for them anymore.
But thank you guys for watching and listening. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, smash that like button, and comment on our videos. Follow us on all our social media accounts: Instagram, Threads, X, and TikTok. Good morning to the regular corner, but also my party corner over there.
My party's even bigger than EJ's. It's on fire.
Comment down below whose party you want to join, all right?
Why not over here?
Yeah, don't, you know who you want. It's all you.
90%.
Oh, everybody.
It's a landslide. NBA playoffs are here and they are crazy.
They are insane. We called it. All these matchups were going to be really, really intense. All the games have... there's been a couple blowouts here or there, but we've seen a lot of really good games. If you were watching them from top to bottom every day, you're not short of excitement.
It's been really, really great games all around. A lot of these series are like 3-1 at this point, so they don't seem as close as they have been.
Yeah.
But besides like Cavs and Heat, which is going to probably be over tonight, Monday, when we're recording, mm-hmm. That'll probably be done by Tuesday, tomorrow, when this comes out.
Yeah.
And outside of that, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a crazy... It's been a crazy first round. It's been a good first round. There's been a ton of entertaining games, that's for sure.
Yeah, like I said, not too many blowouts, so they've been really enjoyable to watch. But a couple things that have happened. Stan Love passed away. Kevin Love's grandfather?
Father.
Oh, father. I'm sorry. Yeah. And he posted on Instagram a nice...
It was very touching.
Touching post.
Very personal.
We've spoken about Stan Love way earlier in our podcast. Condolences to his family. And also Knicks guard Dick Barnett, who was a champion in 1970 and 73 with the Knicks, who also passed away. So anytime any of these NBA greats pass away, it's a tough loss for the NBA family.
Lakers legend too, Dick Barnett. He spent
four
years with the 60s Lakers.
Oh, interesting.
I think before they came to LA, or maybe right when they came to LA.
Yeah.
I didn't really know too much about Dick Barnett, but I was watching a tribute that his foundation put out today. It's just super cool. There's a documentary about his college teams for Tennessee State. I don't think it was called Tennessee State at the time. It was like Tennessee A&I or something. Mm-hmm. First collegiate team to win 3 in a row.
Oh, wow. Ever?
Oh,
wow.
First team ever. I believe it's called The Dreamer. It's called The Dream Whisperer, and it's about that team. I think it goes into his life a little bit. Mostly about him and those teams from the 50s. I knew his NBA stats somewhat through the Knicks, like you said, winning a championship there. But his foundation work seems really cool too. I didn't know anything about that, but he was a doctor of education, and his foundation worked about just helping underprivileged youth achieve their dreams. That was what it was all about.
Was he based out in New York?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
He had taught at one point at St. John's. And it's focusing on, you know, helping underprivileged kids achieve their dreams. It's kind of the mission. So I think specifically it gets them internships and other kinds of opportunities at like these big, you know.
Oh, good for them. Yeah, that's awesome.
Places that would otherwise be hard to get into.
Yeah. I love hearing about all these, the players' organizations outside of, or off the court.
And he was just elected into the Basketball Hall of Fame last year.
Okay.
So it's cool that, you know, he was able to get in before he passed on, so.
Very well deserved.
Yes, yeah.
For what he's done on and off the court.
Yeah.
Hate to continue the kind of the negative, but Damian Lillard also got injured yesterday. I know you saw that.
Yeah.
We didn't know the severity of it until middle of the game, and it turns out to be a torn Achilles. And you brought up a great point about the age and when Kobe did when that happened to him. It's just super sad, man.
It's a terrible situation, especially, you know, he had just come back from blood clots in like record time. You know, normally that's like almost a year recovery as well, just because they need they 100% need to make sure that you're not going to throw a clot in the middle of a game, you know,
because
they're athletes that are working so hard. That's what caused Chris Bosh to retire. So he had that at the beginning of 2025, and then he somehow was able to come back and play in the playoffs, which is crazy. And then, now torn Achilles, same age as Kobe was when he tore his Achilles. Dame is 34, and much like Kobe, turning 35 over the summer. Kobe, July or August 23rd, and Dame is July 15th.
Yeah.
So kind of eerily similar situations. It really stinks. You know, hopefully Dame can come back at the end of next year.
Yeah.
Who knows though? I mean, if the Bucks are like really bad, maybe they'll just wait until 26-27, which is
to bring him back.
Crazy to think about. But probably by the time he comes back, he'll be 35 turning 36, or he'll be 36.
Yeah.
So
kind of crazy that I'm going to bring it up, but he is on the later side of his career, and this injury will obviously derail that a year or two, and it's just weird to talk about his career as a whole already, thinking he's going to have to, you know, be done soon, maybe in another year or two. And just thinking, people don't come back the same from these Achilles injuries. You know, Kobe wasn't the same, really.
No.
Klay Thompson wasn't the same when he came back. You can kind of see it in terms of, like, how they are playing defensively. And it sucks because the Indiana Pacers are up 3-1 right now in that series, and you obviously want the focus to be on if he can get healthy and be better. It's just a sucky thing happened for the NBA, man, you know.
Yeah, bad situation. Like you said, Pacers are up 3-1. And it was kind of, you know, like him and Haliburton have been talking trash.
Yeah,
like,
they've been going
big time trash. Hallie said, you know, that he sent his condolences, and he's like, you know, I admire Damian Lillard, even though we're talking trash right now. It's like, you know, he's a guy that I really admire in this league. So, and I think Dame has that respect from a lot of people
for sure
around the league. So it's gonna be, it's a bummer. It's a bad situation.
It's one of those things where everything stops. You know, you notice it dampens the situation. You, like, even Haliburton, all that trash talking stuff goes out the window. You know, and you're kind of sad about it. You know, even Doc talking about it, he's like, he's one of the greatest players. You hate to see it. And it's kind of the thing where it puts like a low light on the NBA, kind of, and everybody kind of rallies around somebody when an injury like that happens.
Yeah.
You know, especially to like a big star like that.
Yeah, injuries suck, man. But injuries in the playoffs especially, it's like
the worst.
It's just awful. It's like you got through the whole season just to get there, and now it's all gone.
Right. But I mean,
yeah, bad stuff.
Yes, I mean, so you know, best wishes to Dame and his team and his family over there, and hopefully he has a speedy recovery. We'd love to see him. I'm sure he'll get a really big ovation when he comes back, if he can come back next season.
Yeah.
Right? Like, maybe hopefully towards the end. And like you said, who knows where the Bucks will be at in terms of...
They still have
kind
Giannis.
Kind of weird to be talking about that, that much in the future, but...
Yeah. They'll still have Giannis, and, you know, he can carry them. He could probably literally carry the whole team.
For sure.
He's very strong.
Yeah. And big.
He's very big.
And tall guy, yeah.
Big arms. He can just...
Come on, guys. Yeah. Just wear a back brace.
Yes.
But I want to also go back to the last Pistons and Knicks game, which was very controversial at the end.
Yeah.
Something that we've talked about and is just really annoying. I want to say, like, if there's a foul, like, so Josh Hart fouled, I don't know, who was the player?
It was Tim Hardaway Jr.
Yes.
But it wasn't called a foul.
No, it wasn't.
There
was definitely a foul, though.
I don't think so.
Really?
I disagree. There was contact, but I don't know. See, it just depends on how you call it. There was contact, but I thought it was really marginal. He went up to contest, bumped him with his chest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I guess by the book, it's a foul, but it seems so inconsequential. I don't know.
I think
the whole thing was really weird.
Yeah, because you can talk about, you got to protect the 3-point shooter, right? It's also the last second of the game. You don't want the refs to determine the outcome of the game. But for me, if there's time left on the clock and there's a foul, you got to call the foul.
Yeah.
Like you said, you didn't think there was one. I thought there was contact enough to have a foul be called. So, and then the ref at the end of the game admitted that there was a foul committed by the Knicks player. So,
wow, already?
Yeah,
like,
it came out.
Before the last 2 minutes. Yeah, I'm seeing that they should have called a foul. That's crazy.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, it's nice to admit it, but, you know, as a Pistons player or fan, that's not going to help anything. But, you know, it's just adding on to this whole issue of the officiating. You know, there's been, even the last Lakers and Wolves game, there was a lot of calls that were kind of controversial. The steal from Ant, that where he hit LeBron's hand, said it should have been a foul. LeBron hit his hand, and it should have been a foul, but it was reversed and all that.
It was a foul. It was LeBron stole it, and it went out of bounds. And everyone, the broadcast was confused. They thought they were reviewing if the ball went out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know the Lakers called timeout because I kind of blame the broadcast for this.
Yeah.
Because the officials are saying the Lakers are being charged a timeout, but the Timberwolves were using their challenge. So usually when you want to challenge something, it's your timeout.
Right.
So the whole thing was really weird. But yeah, it looked like LeBron stripped the ball and it went off of Anthony Edwards. And then they thought that's what they were going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned out that LeBron hit him on the wrist. So they called a foul and he got two free throws, put him up by three.
Right.
Lakers had no more timeouts, so they had to just go run up the floor.
Mm-hmm. Really, again, we were talking about it, the way the Lakers are playing is just kind of frustrating. I'm sure Laker fans will know. So we'll get back to that. But, now in that other series, Knicks are up 3-1, and every game has been really down to the wire. The game three was down, the Knicks won by 2 points. We brought up that the Pistons are really going to make some noise in this playoff, so...
Bad luck, that's for sure.
Just bad, towards the end, you know.
They were saying throughout the broadcast that the last time the Pistons won a home playoff game was 2008.
Oh, wow.
And they've made the playoffs. They just, since that time, they just haven't been able to win. So that's pretty rough.
But I think as a Detroit Pistons fan, you're not asking for too much considering the past that you've had and as of late, right, with the 16-win team and just not having any success the last 4 or 5 years. This is almost a win for you in the first round, right?
I mean...
Technically, you're still in. It's 3-1, but you kind of should got to be happy about this season, right?
I think you should be happy about it. I think if you're a Pistons fan, you're pissed about last night, especially now that the report has already come out that they missed a call. But it's like, you should be happy and you should be looking forward to next season because by all accounts, you should just be getting better. Jaden Ivey didn't play He's been injured, so that could be a game changer for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you know, winning a game in Detroit or in New York, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. It sucks that right. you couldn't win at home, and especially given how long it's been since there's been a win at home mm-hmm. in Detroit. But
you almost gotta look at it as like a couple of years or three, like a 2-3 year process, right? So you found success this year. Hopefully this offseason, maybe they make some moves. I'm reading and I'm hearing that the Pelicans are going to be moving on from Zion. I mean, who knows? Just all speculation. But what if Zion somehow found himself on the Pistons, which is what I saw in one of the rumors.
That could be pretty interesting.
Because bruiser guy, scorer, who matches and fits the makeup of that team, right? Can he help them next year? I can see him. I can see that helping.
That can be pretty interesting.
Right.
I really like the team they have now. Tobias right. Harris, I think, has stepped up a lot, especially where his career appeared to be heading. You know, like when he got dealt to Detroit, it was like, oh, okay, well, Cade's good, but like this team probably won't be very good. So I think they've,
even on the Sixers, he wasn't really doing much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think Tobias Harris has been really good, but yeah, I think Detroit should be looking forward to probably next season, since it's going to be tough to come back 3-1
yeah.
at a game 5 in the Garden. That's,
right.
That's going to be tough to beat.
Right. And let's say they don't get Zion and they just add around the edges of the team and they stick to their core. They got a bunch of young guys. Next year, they'll be good again, you know? Seems
like. What about this? Trade for KD.
Ooh. And why wouldn't he want to go there if they're good,
right? They're looking good.
I guess
I would be nervous to trade for KD personally. I'd be like, this guy's going to come in and ruin another team.
He's not going to be happy at some point.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know how much of a factor it is, but would he want to live in Detroit? I don't know. Let's see.
Let's ask him. All right. Kevin?
At this point, not to get into much into it, but maybe he's not going to buy a house out there. You know what I mean? If he gets it to...
That's always been the problem with Detroit, right? It's hard to get free agents out there. So, yeah who knows?
Yeah, because that's another topic for come up in the future is where are these guys going to go? These free agents, these
nobody
big names.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. The Rockets. Just kidding.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Also, we do have a series that is over already. The Grizzlies got swept.
Yep.
John Morant said, I figured them out. No, you didn't.
He said it would be 2-2 if he was not injured.
Yeah.
Because he's figured them out. All right.
Okay. It's pretty safe to say that Thunder team just was overpowering the Grizzlies.
Easily.
You know.
Like, well before Ja got injured, too. Ja being injured obviously hurts a lot.
Yeah.
But
they had a game where they were up 29 and still lost that game, which was like the third highest comeback
that,
ever.
That was the game that Ja got injured, so you know, you can chalk that up to that, I guess.
But still, if you lose your star and you're up 29, you should still win that game, right?
How about this? Ja says he's figured them out. This is their regular season.
Okay.
How it shook up. First game in Oklahoma City, the Thunder win 130-106.
Oh boy.
Next game in February is in Memphis. The Thunder win 125-112.
Oh, boy.
Next game is in March in Memphis. The Thunder win 120-103. Last game of the series, end of March, in Oklahoma. Thunder win 125-104. You did not figure them out.
He figured
Good
out.
Good luck.
He figured out not figuring them out.
Yeah, that series was... You could tell from the first game. The first game they won by like 50.
Yeah.
There was no way the Thunder... I said foolishly that maybe the Thunder had a chance.
Yeah.
They did not.
No, and we said this last week that the 1-8 matchups are probably going to be pretty lopsided. Like the Cavs are up 3-0 right now, and which will probably be a sweep as well.
I kind of forgot that series isn't over.
Yeah.
It'll be over, probably, like I said, most probably likely tonight.
Yeah.
Episode's going to come out the following morning. Mm-hmm. Last game 4 is in Miami.
Yeah.
That one hasn't been close either. Mm-hmm. So I would be surprised if it was, you know, mm-hmm. not over. But yeah, I'm surprised. Like, I feel like that one's been going on for like...
For 5 years.
Yeah.
It's exciting to kind of look ahead a little bit. The Nuggets and Clippers are in a dogfight. They're 2-2, right? But seeing one of those teams who are both really good, Clippers look really good, to go against the Thunder, that's going to be the matchup to watch.
That is, especially, I mean, I know the Clippers just lost in incredible fashion.
Another crazy game.
Gordon, 0.01 or 0.1 tip-in dunk.
Mm-hmm.
That was insane.
Where is the box out on that, right?
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Yeah, I think that, I think the Clippers are maybe the better team. I think the Nuggets got really, really lucky. And now it's going to be, now it's a series. 2-2
for sure.
Going back to Denver, that's a series. Game 5 is going to be must win for Denver.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to stay alive. I don't think the Clippers will lose in LA again.
Yeah.
Clippers look really good, man. Kawhi is still healthy. Stay healthy, even though I don't want the Clippers to win.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see Kawhi be healthy. So that series has been, I think probably, if you had to pick one series to watch, that's
the one. For sure. It has a little bit of everything in there.
Yeah.
And, Harden's been good. Powell is looking like their third option guy.
Yeah, which he has been all season. Yeah.
Been killing it for them. So that's going to be a good one. It's also kind of be weird to see, you know, with the Lakers down 3-1, if the Nuggets go down.
Skip this part.
We're getting there, Laker fans. Don't worry. But it's going to be interesting to see if the Nuggets somehow get knocked out, Lakers get knocked out, having no Joker or Luka and Braun in the playoffs. You know?
But we'll see. We'll see if we'll still have
first
Steph.
Round,
you see. Never know.
That's true also. We'll see.
The Warriors could go up 3-1 tonight. Mm-hmm. Stole one in Houston already and have been doing okay without Jimmy Butler. I thought that was going to be a bigger deal.
Yeah.
But
his injury doesn't seem too serious, right? Like he could come back any.
Yeah, I think I haven't heard that he's ruled out for like for a long term thing, but he's listed as questionable for tonight, Monday, the 28th game. So better than doubtful.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
That's true. Questionable is like the best.
If you're injured,
way to
questionable
put it, yeah.
is the most likely that you are going to play.
Yeah.
But they're not ruling out that you...
Yes. It's the most 50-50 answer you can give,
yes.
right? Like, you really don't know
play?
Until game time.
I don't know. Will
questionable.
He? He's questionable. Will he?
And
you're the coach. Is he going to play? You tell
questionable.
Me.
Good question. Be. That's a question. But before we get into some kickaroos, the Lakers... Our team, Laker fans, Laker Nation. I know the frustration. We both feel it as well. I got to get it off my chest. But they looked so good the last couple weeks of the season, you know, leading up to it.
Yeah.
With the transition of getting Luka, right? I think if I were to break down the kind of the problems, I think it just comes with effort, I think.
Yes,
because when they try, then what they looked like in game 3 in that first quarter when they're flying on defense,
game four, they looked great. Set the tone
and
the first like half.
Yes, I think their problem is closing out quarters. Like they closed out that third quarter to stay up 10, but what happened in the fourth? They were outscored 36-19 or 30-19, something like that. Closing out quarters, I think JJ isn't trusting some of his guys in terms of rotations. There's a few issues here and there. And then what the thing that you brought up, we need a true center. You know.
Yeah, and I think I initially didn't put too much weight into the fact that the starting, well, not the starting five, but that the closing five had played the entire half yesterday.
Yeah.
But I think to your point, that does speak a lot about the trust JJ has in the other members of the team. It's tough to be critical of LeBron for this, being that he's the oldest guy in the NBA, and the way he's played the season has been unprecedented. So Maybe he is finally, for the first time ever in his career, getting tired. He only took 9 shots yesterday.
I was thinking that too, and which is kind of crazy to think about because we're just so...
We're used to greatness.
Stuck with him doing what he does, right?
And he had 27 points. He was at the line 18 times. 15 crazy. 18 from the line. So he was getting fouled a bunch. His defense was great. 3 steals, 3 blocks. He's been playing really, really well. But I do feel like he was tired. I felt like there was a lot of deferring to Luka, and there wasn't any action between the two of them. Mm-hmm. It was always Rui or Dorian Finney-Smith coming to set a screen for Luka in the last few minutes of the game. Which, like, that worked in Dallas, you know? It worked in Dallas when they had a good rolling big or, like, a Maxi Kleber who could... I mean, I think Rui has really stretched the floor really well.
Yeah.
But he was... I didn't like the screens he was setting in the last few minutes. But he was being guarded by bigger guys. It was either Naz Reid or Julius Randle. So it's tough to set, like, a good screen when that's the guy that is fighting over it. Going back to the officiating, I thought... Julius Randle complained every time he committed a foul.
If he missed a shot, he was complaining, too.
I thought that he was pretty much fouling every single play on defense.
And yeah.
I thought a few of them were missed.
For sure.
But yeah, I think, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe, yeah, playing LeBron 24 straight minutes. He played 46 for the game, led the Lakers in minutes. Maybe that's just not feasible, you know? Like, I think Gabe Vincent only played 12, Jordan Goodwin only played 7, Vanderbilt only played 6. Like, mm-hmm. I think all of those guys need more minutes.
Personally,
I think it would help.
I agree.
And like you said, too, you can't solve this this year because I don't think Jackson Hayes is the answer, and definitely Alex Len is not the answer. But
that's why
Luka needs a role guy. He needs someone that sets hard screens and rolls really hard and then rebounds. Like, that's what the Lakers need, and Jackson Hayes has not been up to stuff.
He hasn't been good enough to do that. And I think he would be a good backup center to whoever they go after this offseason. But what they've been doing is, you know, Vando, DFS, and Rui, sometimes Braun, they're using all 4 of those guys as kind of like the guy to guard the big or the 4, you know. And
that's hard.
It's going to be tough to, you know, and you want, you know, you're starting Finney or you're starting Rui and then bringing in Finney off the bench and just rotating those guys as like your big. It's just not, I don't know if it's, it's showing more and more that we need that center.
And going back to LeBron too, looking at these like breakouts quarter by quarter, he played the whole second quarter too.
Mm-hmm.
He did not have a break during game time after the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And just overall that fourth quarter again, maybe the guys were tired. LeBron 0-for-2, Luka 1-for-6 from the field, 5 free throws though.
Mm-hmm.
Rui was 1-for-1. Reeves was only 2-for-7. Dorian Finney-Smith was only 1-for-2. It's like, I just don't think that volume is good enough for any of those guys, and they need to be making those shots. Like,
and that was another one. Austin Reeves got his 3rd foul early, didn't really play, didn't score at all the first half. Caught fire in the second half, but maybe a little too late. Luka
had a good look at the end of the game. That hurt, too.
That one hurt. Luka missed a couple late shots. Turnovers are obviously a Lakers problem the last few games. Got to clean it up. They got a shot, but, I mean, 3-1 isn't really a good...
No.
It's a deficit that anyone really comes
back. I mean, LeBron is the guy to do it, of course.
Right.
But 3-1 is hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least it's going back to L.A. You might be able to stretch it out to a game 6.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I want to see more Luka and LeBron action. I know they're really hunting Randle.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, as we were talking before the podcast, Randle played Luka really well on defense. Like I said, I thought he fouled a lot, but he played him really well. So maybe I don't know. Maybe it's time to stop hunting matchups and just put your 2 best players together. Have LeBron.
Yes,
that's how it worked with Kyrie. LeBron would set the screen for Kyrie, and then all of a sudden, what do? You have to choose between LeBron and Kyrie.
Yeah,
and now you'd have to choose between LeBron and Luka. Like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not an NBA coach, so
it's a lot of different things, you know. Because I can also say, okay, you know, maybe you should, you're we're depending too many on depending on our show, you're shooting too much. If we don't make any buckets, we're gonna be down, you know. And it's there's a lot of different things here and there, but we'll see. Game 5 Wednesday at 6:30, I believe.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
7. So, hang in there, Laker fans.
It's gonna be a rough.
This ride. Might be the end, but also at least we got a shot with this time with Luka.
The only thing I'll say is we've only had Luka since February.
Yeah,
you got to give it or January. Mm-hmm. You got to give it some time. Like, yeah, it can hopefully. I think even if you took this as that exact same team and put them in next year, it should only get better.
Yeah, for sure.
So, hang in there.
It's tough. Yeah. But how about some kickaroonies?
Should we do some shoes? Talk about some shoesies.
What do you have on the toes?
Today, I have bros. For my toe bros, that's my corner now. The toe bros?
Oh.
The feet gang.
The feet?
Fiends.
Fiends.
They're fiending for his feet.
We'll work on it.
No, that's it. Stuff.
No.
I've got my New Balance Numeric 480.
What one of your most comfy shoes?
Yes, this has become one of my, as you can see by how dirty they are, they become one of my staples. I didn't know that we were wearing all heat today, though. I would have worn something a little nicer. Because as you can see over here.
He can be anything that you want it to be. And since you wear those every day, they must be feet, right? Or heat.
They must be feet.
They must be
feet. They do go on feet. I own them. No, I'm just saying you wore some crazy heat, so.
I got the Reimagined Breads. I've been telling you that I want to kind of get them in the rotation because they look cool, worn.
They do look cool.
And
they look cool new, too.
Yeah, and I just saw a picture of all the Reimagined shoes, and pretty dope, man. Seeing all, like, because we're almost at the end of it, right? The Carolina is, like, one of, the Carolina Blue, which we spoke about last week, is one of the last few of the Reimagined series that is coming out. They focused a lot on the unbannable series that they're doing right now. Jordan is, which is like the new Luka 4, all the other Jordan models, like the 39 and stuff like that. Fitting enough because of all the attention on Luka and stuff like that.
Yep.
But yeah, man, just a nice little rotation piece here.
Oh, yes. Rotate in and out.
And boy, do we have some heat for the feet. And the new release.
Coming up in the street.
And coming out on the streets. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm a rhymer. First up, we've got a Hype Beast.
Fiend.
Fiend. The signature model of Cactus Jack, the Jumpman Jack TR trainer in the bright cactus colorway.
I don't know how to say it, like the numeric name of the shoe. It is the CJ1 T-Rex. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that. I think that's kind of like the fun name though, because if you look at this is a full family run.
Yes.
If you look at the like toddler, anything that's not the main release, they're all just say Jumpman Jack, CJ Jumpman Jack.
CJ TR. Yeah. Okay.
So I think that's like the fun name. Mm-hmm. I like it. The T-Rex.
Yeah, T-Rex is cool.
How do you like this compared to? I know the was it the Velvet Brown or Mocha?
The
one of the last
Jordan One Low.
No, the other Jumpman Jacks.
Oh, the red one, the University Red.
There's a red one, but there's like a brown one too.
Oh yeah, the one that everyone loves. The Mochas.
Yes.
To be honest, I know the Mocha is the most popular, but to me personally, the University Red and the Bright Cactus is the best one.
This might be my favorite. Yeah. I agree with you on that one. I didn't care for the Mocha all that much. We went down to Cool Kicks LA over the weekend. Shout out Cool Kicks. So we got to see a lot of these in person. And for me, first time seeing a lot of them in person.
Yeah.
And the Mocha was better than it looked online. Mm-hmm. But the University Red was nice.
I mean, it's got the classic black and red colorway.
I feel like this model too is not as, obviously as popular as when he does like a Jordan 1 collab or an existing Jordan silhouette. But I like this shoe, man. I think there's a lot of cool stuff about it. It looks like rugged. The strap I think helps with that, and how it's kind of got the knit body.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think, too, the leather on this is supposed to be, it's like muslin or something.
Muslin is, yeah, that's the name of the material that they use for that.
And which I is think, like, it's not even leather, really. It's like a sack. That's like what, like,
yeah,
like a flower sack.
Kind of hard to explain what it, the material, almost like a weird type of rubber, even.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, and then to me on this colorway specifically, that they use the perfect green.
Yes, yeah.
Because it's almost like a highlighter, but not necessarily.
Almost Volt.
Volt green, yeah. Canvas material, awesome. And then that goes perfect with the cream and the black. Yeah, I'm having a hard time picking between this and the university red. This is a model that a lot of people don't necessarily like out of all the Travis series of his shoes. But this is a shoe that definitely me and you are, and the Steady Daddy are going to get.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan of this. I like that you get a lot of laces, too. You get four different sets of laces. I always think that's kind of cool. Cause
I might throw that checkered one on there.
The checkered one is probably where my head's at, too.
Fire.
Releasing through sneakers tomorrow from when this episode is out, April 30th, 7 a.m. for $200.
Yep.
Definitely something I'm going to be going for.
And I told Julian, you know, for all you sneakerheads out there, the move might be, like, for me, I'm going to go with my size, and then I'm also going to get a toddler and a PE size.
School age?
School, all the schools, yeah.
GS?
GS and the TDs.
Yeah.
I'm going to get one for each just to see what I hit. Yeah, because we all know what happens on sneakers when we go try to get a shoe. We don't always win.
The infant size you could wear on your fingers. They could be like thumb shoes.
Yeah, I'm going to put it on my putter.
Yep.
You know, as like a putter head cover.
That would actually be sick.
Super sick. hang it on your rearview mirror.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So a lot of stuff you could do with it. Obviously, if you're trying to make an extra coin, you know, you want to hit off the shoe. But this is one I want to own. I know you said you were going to go for it for sure.
Yeah.
So best of luck to us.
So far, for all Cactus Jack releases, it has been no luck.
Zero. I mean, I got lucky. It's been 4 months since the last Travis Scott release, which was the Velvet Browns, which I got lucky on.
I forgot about that.
And it is, what's it called? It was worn by, kind of crazy, worn by John Cena at Raw.
Yeah.
The Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. And then Luka also wore it on the first game of the playoff series against the Timberwolves. So they've definitely been putting it out there.
Well, even this new model, mm-hmm. is Aaronis himself.
Oh, yes, he did wear it too. Yeah, that's right.
Meeting up with Travis Scott somewhere. I don't know where it
was. I think it was at one of the
racing
events. One of his racing events, because
yeah.
he has his own team. And then Travis Scott also had a surprise release at Coachella.
He always does.
At Coachella, yeah.
We've talked about a few times on this podcast where he's done, like, he performed at, I think it was the Grammys, not this most recent year, but the one before,
mm-hmm.
and, like, mid-show, his site went live with, like, the new,
yeah.
his latest Jordan 1 or whatever it was out at the time.
And sold out super fast.
Of course, yeah.
You know, so good luck to everybody out there trying to get them. 55,000 pairs is what is rumored, and doesn't seem like that's not going to be a lot.
No.
So good luck to all of you out there. Comment down below if you were able to hit on a pair.
Let us know.
Or if you already have one because you're cool.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, let us know. That side's not cool.
You
over here, probably the Toe Bros, probably got one.
Don't listen to him.
Next up, we have...
That's bad.
A just recently leaked pair. Very strange, I'd say.
Yeah.
The Jordan Session, which is a upcoming Jordan lifestyle shoe.
Yes.
I believe the thought right now is that they're going to release this summer or fall, mm-hmm. For around $90.
Cheap.
For a Jordan? That's unheard of. And I don't think there's been any official marketing yet, but a lot of people are speculating that this is going to be essentially a Jordan skate shoe.
Yes.
Even though I think it's, like you said, it's being marketed more as a lifestyle shoe.
Yes.
But here's the the pack that the first four colorways that they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting model. Really doesn't look all that like there's some. I feel like all the other Jordan, like non-signature Jordan shoes, like the Six Rings, the MVP.
That's a Jordan feel to it.
There's some like, oh, that's the midsole of the three, or yes, that's the body of the six, or like you can pick out pieces. This one, I don't really see anything. I know I was reading on Sneaker News that they feel it looks a lot like the Jordan Flight Court.
Yes.
Which is one of their low-top lifestyle mm-hmm. models.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, the court looks like kind of like the four a little bit. It's got kind of that layering that the four does.
Yeah.
This, where that would be, I would think, is kind of covered up by this wave part that kind of looks like the KD 18 almost.
Yes.
How you feeling about these?
Good description there. Because it's hard to kind of... This is one of the only models from Jordan that don't have that Jordan feel, like you said.
Yeah.
We brought this shoe up. Might be a little random. Just because of the lane and the route that Jordan is taking now with trying to keep up with the trends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dad shoe, lifestyle shoes. They have their own version of a Croc, which is called the High Drip.
Yep.
They have the Lore models that are kind of like their dad shoes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they're transitioning to skating and skateboarding shoes, like almost like the SB.
Well, even with the Nigel Sylvester, like, that's obviously BMX, but, like...
Nigel Sylvester is the Jordan 4 SBs, yeah, right? The Jordan 4 Low RM models, yeah, by Nigel also. So you can see that they're trying to keep up with all these other companies and the trends that are happening with the dad shoe and the skateboarding shoes. So, you know, shout out to them to kind of transition out of the Jordan retros and trying to focus more on their... other models and other shoes and trying to expand into the skating scene, right?
The body as a whole kind of, it definitely feels skate shoe. It looks like a Van.
Big time, yeah.
Like an old school almost.
Yeah.
I do like the, where they put the Jordan logo, how it's on that kind of elevated piece of material on the heel.
Yeah.
Really small Jordan.
They gotta
logo.
Have their Jordan on their logo
of
on
course,
there somewhere.
Of course, it's gotta be somewhere. Right. But it's just, it's interesting how kind of plain the rest of the shoe is.
Super plain.
Thick laces.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like it. The body is a little odd, but they all have that kind of like carpet or canvas material almost, and mm-hmm. I really like that. Obviously, that's what
it's like a, yeah,
my
it's
New
like a,
Balances have.
It's like a rugged suede.
Yeah,
I feel
kinda,
like to
yeah.
just to kind of be able to absorb more of that contact if you're skating in them on the cement,
yeah,
the street.
Yeah.
They do have a vibe of like the old Osiris shoes for me, like with the really big wide and wide laces and the wide shoe. I brought up to you earlier that it reminds me of one of the designer brand shoes. I'm butchering this name. It's Lanvin, but I think it's called like Lanvin or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
We'll put this picture up there for you, but that pink pair looks exactly like this one that I showed you earlier.
Yes.
I mean,
down to the laces,
spitting image almost, even with the midsole being kind of wavy and have all these design on it. And so I'm sure you guys know about that. But I feel like they took a piece from the Osiris, that Lanvin brand, and even the newest Kyrie shoe. You remember Kyrie's mm-hmm. new shoe with like the seven laces and stuff?
The lifestyle shoe
yeah. he came out with. I feel like they got a piece from there too, so, or inspiration at least from there. But if there was a little bit of a Jordan feel to it, I would probably say it's the sole.
Yeah, I was just looking at that too. The midsole and the outsole.
Reminds me of the five a little bit.
Yeah, they have four, five, six vibes.
Vibes for sure.
And it's compared to the rest of the shoe, that's big. That midsole is pretty big. Like, you know, this is a skating shoe. It mm-hmm. really does not go up that high. Where
no.
this one's really kind of chunky. I think that could be good though, you know?
Again,
lots of good support.
Yeah, again, made for the, you know, if it's going to be trashed from skating and or bike or whatever you're going to use it for.
Yeah.
So. Just a cool shoe and could, you know, change the direction of Jordan brand in terms of who's buying what.
Kind of odd. But I mean, the price point is there, that's for sure.
You know, $90 and you're thinking of Jordan.
In this economy?
In this... tariffs.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, just a cool shoe. Hopefully, it's a successful for them.
Last up for new releases, we are sticking with the Jumpman. And we have one of your favorite collabs year in and year out.
Yes.
The Jordan 1 Low Kwai. Kwai?
Key. I'm going to say Key, yeah.
Key. I think it is Key. Key. 54. The 2025 edition for the annual streetball tournament in Paris, France.
Yeah. Is it safe to say that the colorway is what we like the most on it? Awesome.
The tie-in, I think, it ties in with the colorway for me. The stitching.
Yeah, the yellow stitching.
The yellow stitching to outline pretty much all the black accent parts.
Mm-hmm.
Fire.
So good. The tongue saying Key 54. The lace lock having the Key 54 logo on it. Super dope. The Key 54 tournament started in 2003. They play it in different arenas and stadiums in Paris, which is where the tournament is held. Very similar to the tournaments at Rucker Park in New York, and they have shoes made for that as well, just for those tournaments. And one of the places they've played famously for is Roland Garros, is where they have, I think, one of the famous tennis tournaments, like Wimbledon or something. Just a pretty shoe. It looks like a mustard color, but they're calling it like a chili red.
Yeah, red chili or something. It does come with a red lace, I think.
Yeah.
Even though black looks really nice on it. And then I saw that there's a little bit of red on the insert. But I from the photos I've seen, I didn't really see like something I would describe as red anywhere else. So, but I think super cool shoe, kind of like a taxi vibes a little bit.
Yes, taxi for sure.
Wu-Tang vibes a little bit.
Yes, also.
I mean, yellow and black has been kind of a go-to for Jordan for a while, and I think it works.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, more focusing on the black, but out of all the Key 54 shoes, this one might be my favorite. They've had so many different models, the 1, the 3, the 6. But the Jordan 1 Low, obviously, as you guys know, is one of my favorite Jordan models of all time. I think they did perfect on the colorway, and the Key 54 shoes used to be something that they made just for the players and people involved in the tournament, but has gotten such a big following nowadays that
notoriety.
Yes, that they're releasing them to the public now, and this one will be $160 with no exact release date just yet, but be ready for it in the summer of this year.
Yeah, the tournament is going to be July 5th and 6th this year, so seems like a pretty safe bet.
It's going to be out
around
there.
Then. yeah, let's go.
In Paris.
Voulou vous coucher à la soir. That's how they say it. No one judge me. No one correct me. That's perfect.
That's how it is.
That was right. Yeah.
That was perfect.
Great. But that's it for new releases.
Yeah.
Closing it out with a bang.
Banger.
But that can only mean it's time for Chrysopody Gyropody. Christoph's Porzingis.
Cop or drop.
You must choose.
Pick one.
Kind of sticking with the new release vibe.
Okay.
And also a carryover from Cop or Drop from last week. We've got two pairs that are returning in 2026. Obviously no release date yet, but okay. I wanted to get your thoughts on this model and some of these colorways.
We're looking ahead, huh? Okay.
Here we go.
Oh!
KD6, All-Star up top, and PB&J
PB&J's,
down
man.
Below. One of the coolest Nike checks you'll see on any shoe on that PB&J for sure.
For sure.
They just announced that these are going to come back in 2026 with these two colorways being the first of the KD6 models that they are going to drop next year. What do you think?
I love them. This is one of my favorite KD models. A lot of sneakerheads say this is his best model.
Okay.
Over
the 4? I feel like the 4 has been
4 is up there popular. Too. 4 is up there too for sure with this one. But that model came out with a Kobe and a LeBron when they were doing the whole All-Star series with them, obviously when Kobe was still playing. And this one was another special release. Both pairs I don't own or ever had. Kind of a tough one for me. I think at this point I'm going to have to choose the PB&J.
Yeah.
Just because I like that.
So
the
cool.
Yellow and purple.
So funny.
Nothing to do with Lakers, but I just...
I do like that, though.
I do. But I do like that combo. You can't... I mean, the jelly swoosh is insane.
It's crazy.
The yellow is cool, and the purple on the inside of the shoe. No disrespect to that one, but I got to choose the PB&J.
Yeah, the All-Star has some cool kind of graffiti vibes. Mm-hmm. Personally, I don't think that like mint color really works for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the PB&J, it's a lot of yellow, which like I feel like sometimes when it's just a continuous block like that, I'm not crazy about it. Mm-hmm. But man, I mean, such a cool concept that I think is well executed. I love that the purple accents are like, they're deep. It's like a definitely grape jelly.
Yeah, that's probably the name of the color,
that's
too.
That's the color they're going for sure.
The Pantone, right?
Well, that was a clean sweep. That was easy.
That was super easy. And also, just a cool... How do you like that model of KD?
I do like it.
It's a more of a narrow
shoe. Feel like this was back in that era. I feel like his shoes... Because his feet are huge. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like his shoes always on foot on his feet. Like, a little... Like goofy almost. They're like, look so long.
This is long, and then his ankle is really tiny.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I feel like that the shoe is built for that.
Yeah.
And I think this pair has. I kind of remember at the time like being like, this that is a long goofy shoe. But it kind of I like it a little more. It kind of reminds me of the Sabrina 1 a little or 2 a little
yes.
bit.
Yes.
Yeah, a little more, a little bigger, I guess.
Yeah.
Doesn't have that running shoe shape as much.
Right.
Yeah, these are okay. I don't know if I would go for either of these personally.
I love both. I also love the history of it. Now that
the history is, I think where I look to for that,
exactly, sure. and that's why I like them. But you're right. It's just a basketball shoe. We don't really play basketball anymore I don't because I'm old, and I will get hurt. But it would be a tough shoe to wear casually. I think your feet would hurt if you wore it long enough. But
you could
again,
be stunting.
A beautiful shoe, though.
Well, thank you for copping and dropping. Let us know, y'all, if you are going to try and get these and which pair you would cop and which you would drop.
Also, where would you rank KD's line against Bron, Kobe's, and all the other Nike lines?
Also, what's your go-to drink for a PB&J?
Ooh, good one.
Milk.
OJ.
It's all
sour.
I don't like it. No. I don't want it. Carrot juice.
Good copper drop.
That is it, though. Yep, mom and pop always hit the copper drop. I said a hip hop, a hippie to the hip hop pop. Don't stop. Time for Heat on Feet. We kind of touched on all of these games already. But let's get back into it and look at the shoes of those games.
Okay.
First up, we have Jalen Brunson in the Nike Kobe 6 Protro Total Orange.
Fire.
Did these come out already? I know they were supposed to come out this year, but I can't remember if they did or not.
I think these are summer or late, early fall, I believe.
Crazy colors. It's not even really Nick orange if you get a good look at it. It's like a creamsicle.
Yeah.
It's like a pretty light orange. Super nice shoe, though. And Brunson has been wearing some crazy...
Dude, the Kobe 5 you sent me?
Yeah,
wild.
The multicolor, they're calling it. I'll put a picture of that up. This is from... The total orange is from Game 4, and the multicolor that we're talking about is from Game 3. His whole season, I mean, he's just had crazy Kobe rotation.
Yeah. I would even put him up there with one of the top Kobe guys.
And you know who
DeRozan.
His teammate is?
Hart.
PJ.
Oh, that's right.
Not a particularly a Kobe guy, but between those two, their sneaker collection must be... How many shoes has PJ stolen from him?
Probably a lot. I wonder if he's gone through DeMar also, because I'm sure they're homies. Because DeMar is probably the number one Kobe guy.
Yeah, he's got to be the number one Kobe guy.
I like it put together pretty well, though, with the jersey and everything. It still goes with it, regardless of the orange.
Here's a close-up look. Yeah, it still goes together, but I just think it's interesting. That I think for people that aren't explicitly Knicks fans, I think this colorway still is going to be something to excite them. You know,
oh, for sure.
It's a cool colorway.
That's a really nice colorway, bro. Like, I'm going to go for that.
They're really nice, man. Mm-hmm. It looks really crisp. Brunson finished with 32 points, 5 rebounds, 11 assists, no steals, 1 block, 2 turnovers, and 3 fouls on 13 of 26 from the field. He did, if you guys didn't catch the game, he left in the third quarter with what appeared to be a really bad ankle injury. Mm-hmm. He went down after him and Schroeder were diving for a loose ball and had to, like, crawl his way to the scorer's table. He couldn't even walk. Yeah. And then after play stopped, he did try to get up, and he fell over. Mm-hmm. Take it for what you will, but he did come back just a few minutes later at the start of the fourth and was able to play through the rest of the game. I didn't see anything about a lingering injury today, so...
Cortisone shot.
Must be something in the East Coast water that makes them have fake injuries and then get wheelchaired off the finals.
Same thing happened to Anthony Edwards. It looked like he, like, tore up his knee or something... the last game,
yeah.
Was
it last game that LeBron like landed on his ankle too?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
not fun.
Didn't that look good? But still scored 43 points.
And as we talked about, Josh Hart did make the controversial contact with Tim Hardaway Jr. on the last shot of the game with time expiring. I mean, if the refs say it's a foul, I guess it's a foul. I could see it going either way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The bad.
Also, nothing you can do about it now, even if you say it is. That's why I'm like, if you're a Pistons fan, it's, what am I going to do with that information?
And it's also kind of like, even if you want them to, refs do not call fouls when there's like less than 5 seconds
exactly.
left. It just does not happen. Take that for what it is. Maybe mm-hmm. that's not how the game should be called.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like, not to get back into that topic too much, but I do feel like, especially now that the MLB has challenges and replay review, I feel like the NBA is maybe the worst officiated league
probably
of the sports I watch, mainly being football, baseball,
yeah,
basketball.
There's an argument to be made for all three of them, especially as of late.
I just feel like when I watch the other sports, like they make sure they get it right at the when it happens, and mm-hmm. I think basketball being so fast paced and so like. It's mostly missed calls, you know, where, like, if it's, even in the NFL, if they think they missed something, it's easy to challenge it. They have 3 challenges per half.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, and I feel like the main thing, the NBA is so inconsistent, and if you read the rule book, like, they're not calling carries, they're not calling travels,
yeah.
the way they're written in the rule book, I don't know.
We talked bad about them, but I will give it to all three of the big major sports that they've all added challenges, they've all done things to kind of help the game, speed up the game for, like, especially baseball,
yeah.
but also help get the calls right. You know, the challenges in baseball and basketball, and then football, you know, you can throw the red flag and check. They're adding now a mechanical chain and getting rid of the team that for the 10 yards, the first down. So they have a placement perfect instead of just, oh, the ref thinking it's right here. You know what I'm saying?
You could see clips of the chain gang people literally moving the ball and being like, I think it was here.
It was just, it's got, if it's a game of inches, you got to be exact.
Right? Yeah.
So, I mean, shout out to all the leagues for doing that, but it's going to be an issue always.
I guess it feels like the NBA was one of the first leagues to start embracing modern technologies and replay systems, and I don't think they've fallen behind, but all the other leagues are catching up and I think doing it better personally.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a whole podcast right there.
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Okay. Anyway, we're starting the new podcast now. Refs and
Orange, you glad we didn't keep going?
Totally orange. Cade Cunningham finished the game with 25 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists for the triple-double, and nearly went for the quad-dub with 7 turnovers.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
pretty good game for him. Like we talked about before, Detroit fans, you should be...
excited.
You got one. You got a guy there.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have... I don't know. One of our favorite lines, but maybe not our favorite model.
We've got
Jason Tatum in the Tatum 3.
What is that? The Swamp Things?
The Emerald Isle? I don't know. I couldn't get a close-up of these. How do you feel about these now at the end of this season? I feel like at the start of the season, we were both like...
I like them. Not my favorite. Like I said, I think the Tatum one was always my favorite.
That's the best.
It's going to be hard. Yeah, it's going to be hard to beat that. But, again, a cool shoe. It just looks... It looks like it would hug my foot and protect my foot if I were to wear it, which I like. But design-wise, not my favorite.
I think they are missing the mark on the pairs that they're released and his PEs.
Yes.
If you remember, they had that Man at the Garden pack. That was the Jordan 1 low and the Tatum 3. It sucks because it was for the Celtics. But those, I thought, were really well designed because they block. They used these lines that are formed by the waves on the shoe. And, like, color blocked them differently where it broke it up. I think, for the most part, a lot of the shoe has had a lot of just, here's one color, pretty much.
Yeah.
And I haven't been a huge fan of that. And I was looking back last night when I was getting these photos. Tatum 1, hands down. It's, like, not even close.
So
I remember
nice.
I was, like, cool with the Tatum 2, but Tatum 1 is
dude
ridiculous.
So nice. But, yeah, I mean, a good shoe, and I think he personally loves all three of his models. He's obviously killing it in them, so.
Something funny, I'll put a picture up of this. I couldn't get a close-up of this PE he's wearing here, but the game before, game 3, he wore Paolo Banchero's Tatum 3 PE because Tatum had been wearing the 39 at the start of the season and then had also thrown in the Tatum 3 in there and got his own PE. So in this series, he's been exclusively Jordan 39. But I thought it was pretty funny that he...
Showing him who the big dog is.
He's like, oh, you're not going to wear my shoe? I'll wear your shoe.
I'm going to wear your... I probably got it before you.
Yeah. Tatum in game 4, the Celtics ended up winning 107-98. He finished with 37 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, no blocks, 2 turnovers, and 3 fouls on 10 of 25 shooting. Paolo Banchero had 31 points, and Franz Wagner had 24. The big 2 for the Magic are really... They've been getting it done. They've been playing well, but I do think... they need kind of a guy to run the offense. Jalen Suggs has been out, so they've been relying on Banchero and Wagner to initiate the offense. And I think, just one other ball handler I think would be a huge help for them.
I feel the same way, yeah. Another young team on the way up, maybe a couple pieces away from being really good. So
could be interesting, yeah. They could have an interesting future. Just comparing the two, Orlando and Detroit, I would think Detroit has maybe a brighter future at the moment.
Yeah.
Things can change.
That's for sure.
Last up, and our least favorite because of the man involved, Julius Randle in the... a little hard to see here, but we'll get a close-up in a second. The Skechers SKX Rain.
What game was this?
This was just last night. This was game 4.
Okay.
Cool. Wolves ended up beating the Lakers, as we mentioned, 116-113. Randle had a great game. No other way to cut it. 25 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, no blocks, no turnovers, and 4 fouls on 9 of 22 shooting. Anthony Edwards finished with 43. And Luka finished with 38 on 13 of 28 shooting.
Just to add, that shoe that LeBron is wearing is Zuri.
The Zuri, colorway. Yeah.
Pretty cool to his daughter.
LeBron 22 Zuri colorway P. Yeah, it was very cool. Here's a close-up look at the Skechers. Lot going on.
Whoa.
That is a very busy shoe. Something of note, you know, Skechers just recently got into the basketball performance shoe game after decades of being like the shoe you buy as a kid because they're cheap and durable and they light up usually.
That's right.
This shoe does not light up. Seems like a mistake if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Skechers just recently got into their basketball shoe line. I feel like the basketball shoe market there's a lot of competition now. You know, Converse is back in the game. They're owned by Nike, so, you know, I guess it's competition, but maybe not for Nike. Obviously, some of the Asian brands have been doing really well.
Killing it.
Anta.
Rigorer
has, you know, they're making some moves.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular model for Skechers, what is this called? The SKX Rain. This is $185. So, you know, I feel like most of the shoes we cover are, you know, you can get a pair of Sabrinas for like $120. Jordans are like $150.
It's only really like the LeBrons.
LeBrons are usually around $150. The GT cut has been around $180, so that's been kind of expensive.
Mm-hmm. But then we're talking about all these performance technologies in these shoes. So
this is, you know, easily the most expensive shoe for Skechers. They have other basketball shoes that are about $100.
Yeah.
So they have options, but I'm just kind of like, who's buying these?
So I just saw a list of the most worn shoes in the NBA, and surprisingly enough, the Curry and the Skecher and the Puma are at the bottom.
I mean, that makes sense.
But it makes sense.
They probably don't have that many athletes. They probably aren't willing to spend as much of their budget to sign athletes.
Yeah.
Nike and Adidas, but especially Nike, they just, you know, they got their fingerprints in this, and they can pretty much bring in almost any player they want.
Right. And if you're a player who doesn't necessarily have a shoe contract, I think they all kind of gravitate towards the Nikes and the Jordans.
Right? Yeah, I we've mentioned it
and the Kobe's
a number of times, that the Kobe's just across the board, probably the most worn model in the NBA.
That was number one. The six was number one.
See, and if it's like, if you can, we've talked about how, you know, Brunson just wore a five. Caitlin Clark wears a five.
Has her own PE coming out.
Those two are the big models. So if you have two Kobe's that are dominating the market, it's going to be, like, if you're a sneaker free agent or 13th man on the bench, you're going to be like, well, I like my Kobe's, probably.
Yeah. Or I'm going to wear what I want.
With Kobe, yeah.
Yeah.
Or sign with Nike.
Also cool to see Kobe's shoe, you know,
well represented.
Yeah, yeah.
After a few years of not as much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought it's interesting that they have a shoe that is that expensive. I would be very curious to try it out.
Yeah.
It also looks... There's so much going on.
Like I said, there's a lot of performance and technology in the shoe, so which makes me to believe that they... I wonder in the boardroom if they're like, dang, do we make this 180? You know what I mean? Or will we make money off of it if we even price it lower, right? 150 or whatever. Yeah. But so I get it from that standpoint. But, you know, like this here, reminds me of like the Flywire technology in Nike. The big S in the front is... a kind of out of the ordinary, I think, for it's Skechers.
Really, out there.
They added the Hyper Burst, which is probably their technology for the sole inside. Yeah. A lot of cool stuff. A lot of cool different things that they've added to their basketball shoe that, you know, I'm sure the NBA players also appreciate.
This model to me kind of looks like a boxing shoe.
Almost, yeah, like
especially
a boxing boot.
I feel like the sole and the midsole are pretty... You can't really, like, I can't really tell how much support you'd get.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, they know what they're doing. I'm sure it feels good, but it doesn't look like that well protected, at least for the sole.
Yeah, up here it looks very, it's like a sock liner.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the bigness of this part here just tells me that they're protecting that part of your foot, the back part of your ankle, Achilles, whatever. So, you know, and he's... Randall's killing the Lakers in the shoe.
Yeah, he's been having a really good series so far. 22.5 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 4.5 assists per game. Shooting 47.6% from the field, which is pretty good. This was one of his better years shooting-wise, 48.5. His best shooting year since his first year in New Orleans, which he shot 52% that year. So, you know, he's working, man. He's killing the Lakers right now.
Yeah.
But that's all I got.
All right. Thank you for that. Before we go, we're going to play Stump, Statty Daddy. Is your brain ready, sir?
Hold on. I'm ready.
First stat, Merced most turnovers in a game.
That is most. It's the worst and the most. In a single game?
In a single game, I have two guys here. The first guy I never knew, and I'm pretty sure you don't know, so I'm just going to give it to. His name is Mike Bantum of the 1982 Indiana Pacers against the Washington Wizards, or Bullets, or whatever they were in 82. He had 16 turnovers in one game.
Wow.
The guy behind him, though, is a...
James Harden.
Is a beast. Not James Harden.
Oh, it's not James Harden.
He did this with Phoenix in 2000 against the New York Knicks.
Jason Kidd.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I knew that one.
He had 14 turnovers.
Oh.
That is awful.
I think Harden has I think at one point J. Kidd had the most play in a playoff game, too. Yeah. I think he had like 11 or 12. But I think Harden had either the same or maybe like one or two more.
He was up there when I saw the list. I think he wasn't that far behind.
Harden had his moments of having 1,000 turnovers and shit.
Yes. These next two stats are stats from this season. And this first one is kind of surprising. Most three-point attempts this season... It's not somebody who you think it would be. Who do you think it is?
Malik Beasley.
Close. That's actually a great guess, but it's not.
Anthony Edwards.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
811.
He made the most this year.
Yeah. And Steph was behind him with 786, I believe, something like that.
This was the first season that there was three players that had 300 or more made threes. It was it was the guys we listed. Steph, Malik Beasley, and Anthony Edwards, who led the league in threes.
All killing it. And Anthony Edwards, just randomly out of nowhere this season, started shooting more threes and is really good at open threes. Yeah, so
the pace he's on, he could, if, you know, Steph is getting towards the end of his career, he could obviously, I think his play style could carry over for quite a few years.
Yeah.
But just given that Anthony Edwards is really young and hitting these threes already, and Steph had those few years of being, he missed with injuries. Anthony Edwards could come for that all-time record.
Yeah, like, if that's the style he wants to go through.
4,000, after last week, I got confused and said three.
Yeah, I mean, if Anthony Edwards kind of just added that, not added it, but started shooting more this year. So if he becomes one of those, he will be a certified bucket getter.
Oh, a certified bucket getter. I've heard of them.
CBG.
The CBGbers.
That is correct. And... the last one, sir, is most minutes in a season. This one you might be able to get as well.
Wilt Chamberlain.
No, this is for this season.
Oh. Not Wilt Chamberlain. No. Most minutes played this season?
Yes. Believe it or not, the second guy is on the same team as him.
It's the Knicks. It's Mikal Bridges, number one, and Josh Hart, number two.
Yes. So,
welcome to Tom Thibodeau's team of talented
play
managers.
Him to the ground.
Yes,
but Mikal Bridges had 3,036 minutes today or today this season, which is
today
tonight.
That's crazy.
Which is wild.
Yeah, that's crazy. Tibbs, man, he
will play them until he can't anymore.
Until they do not play basketball anymore.
Yeah, if there's 40 minutes in a game, he'll play them 41. You know.
I wonder. I think Wilt does have the most minutes in a season ever. Because I think
wouldn't be surprised.
He had 1 year. It's always been 48 minutes per game.
Yeah.
You know, for the total game. I don't really think that's ever really changed. He had a season, a whole season, where his average minutes played were 48 and a half. Because he played every single minute of every single game.
Right.
And then also some games went to overtime.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's ridiculous.
I would imagine, too, if he wasn't in the game, maybe the team was distinctively worse when he wasn't in there.
Oh, I can't imagine those on-off splits. Yeah. Wilt, top 5 minutes played for a whole season. Wilt Chamberlain, Wilt Chamberlain, Wilt Chamberlain, Wilt Chamberlain, Wilt Chamberlain. The record is 3,880.
Wow.
And what did you say McCall had this year?
3,036. 800 more minutes?
500 more minutes.
Oh, wow.
Not even close.
That is insane.
Right? You said 330?
3,036.
Oh, no 300? Oh, no. Yeah. So 800,
so 800 more.
Yeah.
More minutes.
Ooh.
Whoa.
That's nuts. That's also kind of interesting because that's not even in the top. Like, for that being the most minutes played this season, that's not even in the top 200
ever
of all time. Yeah. That's kind of interesting.
You know, and that sparks up a load management topic, right? Or in.
We could have an interesting off-season podcast here.
Yeah.
I'm cooking right now. Yeah, hey, Toe Bros, let me cook. The Toe Bros always let me cook. Yes.
That's, I mean, again, it that seems like a lot, right? 3,000, and like we said, how Tibbs teaches his players. So that's still a lot of minutes.
That is a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the stats.
Yeah. Hey, I couldn't stump you this.
I feel like I did okay. Yeah.
You did good
today. I wasn't
today.
Too bad. I definitely didn't know who was that? Bantam?
Mike Bantam. And number 63 for the Celtics in 2016, Cody Clark.
No, it wasn't Cody, was it?
It's C-O-T-Y, so Cody.
Oh, okay.
Cote.
Yeah. Cote. Coach of the year.
Shout out Cody Yard. Cody Clark. But thank you guys for listening. I think that's all we got.
That's all I got.
Recording on a Monday, so we will see you very soon.
Very soon. Trying to keep y'all up to date.
Yes. Please continue to check us out on our social media. We do have videos coming out for you and content. And we will catch you next week on the Flippity Floppity.
Peace. All right, I am ready.
Me too.
No, you're not. Don't lie to me.
I lied. I'm going to go home.
I'm not ready at all.
I got to get something.